Amen. God is good. Amen. You know, when we lived here this morning, when people have become part of your life, it's hard to wait a whole week to see you again. Amen? When you start getting really loving people, you start connecting with people. I mean, waiting a whole week to see you again is hard. But it's not possible for us to see ourselves every day, because we all are living in different places. We have jobs, we have things. That's why God has given us family. Amen? Not just our physical family, but God is creating a family where we can truly begin to be more closer to one another and to love one another. Amen? So, it's amazing how God blesses us . Jesus, when he was leaving, he had these people that has become his family. They become part of his life. They were become one. They eat together. They do everything together. And when he was leaving, their heart was very heavy. Their heart was very sorrowful. And he told them, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphan. An orphan is one that doesn't feel somebody really loves him, like the heart of a father, heart of a family. If an orphan is one who feels, I don't have a family. Family is supposed to be a hedge of love. Amen? So he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the comforter. And the comforter is one that knows everything you feel, everything you're going through, what you go through even tomorrow. He says, I will send the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will be there to guide you, to lead you, to comfort you, to walk you through life. Amen? That's family. And the Holy Spirit uses family. So in the natural, when we have grown up with people and they become part of us, there's a bond there. You know, when they leave, you feel their absence physically. But then God brings families and brings the work of the Holy Spirit. That word comfort means God brings a supernatural substitute. Amen? Amen. So that's why the Bible says we don't sorrow like the world. Amen? And then you take it a little bit further and you begin to ask yourself, why are we here? Amen? And once we start understanding why we are here, the purpose for which we're here, the moment we graduate, we complete the assignment for which we're here, you don't want to be here. You want to graduate. Amen? Amen? Nobody wants to be in this earth forever. We want to graduate. Amen? I think the understanding we have about heaven is just a revelation. But heaven is real, and it's a real place. Amen? So when we graduate from here, then we are now fully in the presence of God, in his glory, in his majesty. And then we are going to live from that moment forever. What an excitement Paul was sharing. Amen? So today, we are celebrating 1 year of my mom enjoying heaven. Hallelujah! I'm so happy for her. Amen? You sorrow for a moment, but when it starts hitting you, the reality of where she is and what God is doing and what God has done, you celebrate. So today we are celebrating 1 year of my beautiful mom passing away. Amen? She loved my sister so much. They do a lot together. The reason why my sister won't be going to Nigeria very often is because she's not there. She likes to go to Nigeria just to hang out with my mom and fellowship. My mom spoils her. Amen? Spoils her, but I don't like spoiling her, so she's missing my mom. Amen. So today we celebrate her faithfulness, her goodness. And so with all of you that have lost somebody or have graduated, today we celebrate our loved ones that are in heaven. Amen? Really, we celebrate. Or else our desire of heaven is in vain. So this morning, I want to share a few things with us. God is moving. God is doing something. You are not here by coincidence. You are not here by chance. You are important to God. You are a VIP to God. If you are not to anybody else, you are to God. Easy, you are a VIP to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there is something called jealousy. You all know what jealousy is. Jealousy is a spirit. You might not have experienced it the way it really is in the spirit. But you might have experienced it a little bit. In the natural, because you are human, if somebody gets, for example, somebody, a friend of yours, you know, you love your friends, but he gets blessed with a car and you don't have a car. Inside of you, you're happy. But there's something in you that feels a little bit like, what about me? That's because it's your friend. But if it's not your friend, when somebody gets a car or gets a blessing, there's this thing in this flesh that becomes envious or jealous. And the Bible said, anger is cruel. No, wrath is cruel. Anger is wicked. Wrath is cruel. Say, but who can stand against jealousy? Jealousy is a manifestation of the highest level of insecurity. Why am I saying this? There was somebody that God created. I want you to really pay attention to this. God created this person and God blessed this being that he created. And God put this being in his presence, and he was a worshiper. But during the time of the testings of angels, it was discovered in his heart that he is exalted himself and wanted to take God's position. You all know who I'm talking about. His name was called Lucifer. So what happened was, he was cast out of the presence of God. He was dismissed from the presence of God. And when you are in God's presence, the very purpose, the very reason for which you are created is being empowered, is being revealed, is being manifested. So Lucifer and the angels had assignments, they had their positions. And he was a worshiper, was a leader. And when he was cast out of heaven, you can read this yourself in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. He became, because he was empowered, when he was cast out of heaven, he now became what we call the power of darkness. Because God is light. Amen? And in him there is no darkness at all. So, when he was cast out, the absence of God, Lucifer embodied as darkness. Amen? Now, if I give Bomati a car and I sign it over to Bomati, sign. Now, Bomati go register that car under her name. It's her car. Amen? If for any reason, after she signed the car to her, I've signed the car to her, she owns the car. For any reason, tomorrow, two of us are not in good terms. I could be separated from her, but I can't go back and say, give me that car. Amen? It's her car now. Amen? The car belongs to Bomati. So even if we are separated, I can't go back and say, give me the car, because it's already been signed over to her. So the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, meaning it cannot be taken back from you. So this Lucifer was given great anointing as a worshiper, as one who served in the presence of God. So when he was cast out of God's presence, God didn't say, give me back this power. Give me back the anointing. Amen? But instead, what he had became what we call the power of darkness. It's real. Amen? So, if God is light, amen? And the devil is darkness. So what does light mean and what does darkness mean? We can say so many things about light and darkness, and you probably know them. But this morning, I want to share a little bit with you the power of darkness. In a way you might not think. I want to share with you why people, we can be in church for years and never really come to the knowledge of walking with God. We can be in church for years and never really understands the whole reason is to make God a dwelling place. His glory is to experience the glory of God, the personality of God. And as we experience him, God, that begins to reflect in our lives to our generation. Amen? So, let's read some scriptures this morning. Amen. Let's read a few scriptures. I want you to see it with me. The power of darkness. In a way, I don't think you expect. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. I'm going to read really fast so that we can cover a few things this morning. Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, And fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had no much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. From verse 8, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear? Let him what? Hear. Now, let's continue. Now, he gives an interpretation of this from verse 18. We continue in verse 18. He says, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the word of God, and understands it not, then cometh, who is it? The wicked one. And catcheth away, takes away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word of God and straightway with joy receives it. Fired up, excited. Wow, good preaching, good word, good worship, good this. Wow, great service. Excited. Yet had no root in himself, but endured for a while. For when trials or tribulations or persecutions arise because of that word, by and by, he's offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns. Thorns is he that hears the word. And what did he say here? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becoming unfruitful. But he that receives the seed into good ground is he that hears the word of God, understands it, which also beareth fruit and brings forth fruit in different levels of fruitfulness. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Let's open our Bibles again. Let's look at verse. Let's open to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Luke 21. I want you to see this from verse 34. This was the last sayings of Jesus when he was telling them about the last days. Luke 21 from verse 34. It says, Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overwhelmed or overcharged, overweighed with surfeiting. Your hearts be overweighed with surfeiting, carousing, entertainment, life, and drunkenness. It's not talking about just physical drinking now. It's drunken with the word. And then he mentioned this again. Jesus is the one saying all this. And the cares of this life. the cares of this life, and so that that day comes upon you unaware. For as a snare, everybody say a snare, that's a trap, shall it come on all that dwell in the face of the earth. Watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I want to read this again. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell, all that dwell on the face of the earth. Say, take heed that you're not taken over, overtaken by the cares of life. We're reading a lot of scriptures today. Let's open to the book of Psalms. Let's read Psalms 90 first. Open to Psalms 90. Psalms 90, we'll read verse 12. Psalms 90, 12 says, you know what? Let's just read from verse 10. Verse 10. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Is there strength, labor, and sorrow? For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 12. This was the prayer of David. He lived exactly 70 years. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply or gain a heart full of wisdom, that we may apply ourselves unto wisdom. Okay, final scripture that we'll read together. We'll see how the Lord leads. Let's open to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, let's read from verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Verse 16. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Some other scripture says that our life is like a vapor. You see it now, tomorrow. You see it today, tomorrow is gone. Father, thank you for your word. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. And give us understanding hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. My mom passed away, transitioned at the age of 90 plus, or about 90, I think so. And she, you know, just left after she was totally recovered in the hospital and just left. She finished her assignment. And God gave her some time to connect, discuss, share things, and then she left. As I was reflecting on just 1 year of her celebrating heaven, and praying and asking God, what do I gain? What do I learn from this? What do I remember? What is a memorial? We were in LA in a meeting, and God kept bringing this thing about time. And then I was discussing with another leader, and he brought this thing again about time. So this morning, as I was waiting on the Lord, these scriptures were coming to my heart. So let's go back to why I told you about jealousy. Satan, ever since he left heaven, is an embodiment of the spirit of jealousy. It's a manifestation of the spirit of jealousy. The spirit of jealousy can kill, can covet, can kill, can still kill and destroy just to possess what somebody else has. That's why the full and full mission, vision of Satan comes in three dimensions: steal, kill, and destroy. Those are the three things Satan fulfills every day with the power that he has, the limited power that he has. First of all, before you get saved, before you get born again, he already had us blinded. The Bible says we are blinded by the spirit of this age. So Paul said in Ephesians 2, we just run the course of this world. So everybody you see out there that is not born again, whether they like it or not, they think they are living life. They think they are living for themselves. No, you can't be in darkness and know where you're going. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is destruction. So everybody is blind out there, completely under the blanket of the spirit of this age, the spirit of rebellion and disobedience, lost. That's why the Bible called them unbelievers, lost. So let's leave that. Let's come to us. So the moment the Bible says we are translated from the power of darkness, darkness means completely under the control of this world. Now, before we get to us, let me ask you. If you go out there, the people sitting out there, don't they have electricity? Don't they have sun? Don't they see? But if you tell them, bro, my brother, my sister, you're living in darkness, they will think you're crazy. Because darkness is not natural. What is spiritual darkness? What we're talking about means completely blinded, completely disconnected to the essence of destiny. Completely, you have no clue. You are there making money, having everything in life, but you don't have a clue what you're living for. And not only that, you are literally under somebody's possession, and that person has you locked in and moving you straight. When you die, when your time expires here, you are living in darkness for life, eternity. So the first step of salvation is translation from the kingdom, the power of darkness, to the kingdom of light. What does light do? The first thing God has given us as light, he brings us here to say, wow, there is God. Not just there is God, but now my sins are forgiven. I have access to God. I'm a child of the kingdom. I'm born again. Amen? That's just the beginning, salvation. So, why do you think when we come out of the world, come out of darkness, remember we have a soul that needs to be saved, needs to be purified. We come out of the world, come out of there. Why do you think that the devil will let you come to church, live in the church, knowing that inside your heart some things have not been completely change yet? Why do you think the enemy will let you Become everything that God has, and he will let you enjoy this glorious thing that he lost. This glorious thing that he separated from. He knows what heaven is like. He knows the power. He knows the beauty. He's been there. So how does the enemy, how does Satan walk with believers? How does he keep people in prison, but not in prison? Let me explain this to you. Because I want, the Spirit of the Lord wants to say something this morning. I don't know if Tom has done that. I don't know any of you. In this culture, maybe people don't do that a whole lot. But in Africa, they do those things. They set a cage. You know those bird cage? They create bird cage and they put it, and they put traps in it. And the bird will just fly and come and eat those corn and go in there, and all of a sudden, phew, the trap catches a lot of these birds in Africa and they sell them. They're called bird traps. They sell those birds. The word here, snare upon the world, a snare. The devil, this will come upon the world like a snare. And he used the word escape, that you pray that you be worthy to escape. What is Jesus talking about? Escape the snare of this world. What is he talking about? So, first of all, the bird. When a bird is created, amen? This bird, Pastor Van, is designed to fly. And there is no limit. The bird will fly from this tree, fly to that tree, fly to that tree, eat this incense, go there and eat. Just playing around, enjoying the very purpose for which the bird was made. Amen? You all know how free a bird is. But guess what? Somebody comes and sets a snare, a nice little house, puts little corn or things the bird likes, and the bird will come and fly, come to that place and look at it. First of all, the birds won't get in. They will watch, and then they will eat a little bit, and then they just fly in. The thing will just go, pow. That's called scandalon, trap, snare. That's the word Jesus is using here. So the bird gets trapped. So the first thing you want to understand, the bird does not die. It's not dead. It's alive. But guess what? This thing that has the freedom to enjoy everything, fly, is now confined to a small cage. It will just fly here, jump there, and eat little. That's, it's now limited. It's now boxed in. But it's still alive. That's Satan's strategy for the church. That's what Jesus is saying here. How does he do it? Jesus told a parable. And this parable is amazing. We can't go through all of it. But he categorized three different areas that Satan traps believers. He says, number one, is that there is a way they receive. Some people, when they come to church or they're out there, the word of God comes to them. He says, they are like those on the wayside. Wayside. My brothers, we can break it down so much, we won't go there. We're going somewhere. By the wayside. Those by the wayside. He said there are people that hear the word and they walk out of this door, they don't even remember what they heard. They never meditate on that word when they live here. They never even try to go study it when they leave. They never try to do anything. By the time you get to Wednesday, we'll go back to church next Sunday. They have not digested. They have not taken time. See, that's the second one. It says, are those who receive the word, they get excited. This is great word. I got it. And then something starts happening during the week. And it was like the worship team was saying. It might be financial. It might be health. Whatever it is, something just happened. It might be somebody offends you or does something. And immediately, that's it. The person is completely weighed down, taken out. That word never. You never experience the effect of that word. Never be afraid. Then he says, all this is about because of the word. The third one is the one I want to base on today a little bit. Because Jesus said in the last days, the sneer of the enemy. He's not talking about unbelievers only. He's talking about the sneer of the enemy. Is to use the cares of life to neutralize the reality of God in our lives. The Bible says, if the salt, Jesus said it, if the salt loses its taste, it's useless. If the reason you are a believer is not the presence of God, it's not the character, it's not the nature, it's not a reality of heaven, something is missing. So, Jesus said, and in that parable, he says the third level of Satan's strategic weapon to neutralize the word of God and make it non-effective. He says like sowing a seed, and somebody planted a seed where there were rocks there. No, the second one is rocks. The third one is thorns. You're sowing, but there are already things that are there, and you did not take it out. These soulish things, you didn't take it out, and all of a sudden, you planted in that same thing. He says, now when it grows, the thorns, they grow, and they begin to choke, they begin to kill. That's it. Thank God he talked about the good soil and what comes out of the fruit of the good soil. My brothers and sisters, let me give you an example of thorns. If somebody is sitting here praying, God, if you bless me, I will serve you. Lord, if you bless me, I'll do this. If you bless me, I'll do that. I have heard many people say that. Actually, I can give you a good example of one person. This brother used to come. He had a marital problem. He was in love, so much in love with a particular girl. And he came, the girl left, the wife left him, and he came and he was crying like he was going to die. Like he was going to die. So he came, I said, brother, God can take care of this. God loves marriages, he'll restore it. You know what? Let's pray. He says, God will do it. I say, yes. But let's pray. You must be called. Let's pray. This brother, before I came to church, we were meeting every night, you know, at Manza. Before I come, he's already at the door. Every day. He's there before I come. And he was coming every night to pray. If you see him, he was like on fire for God. He was like, wow. I said, wow. Person is completely torn to God now. All of a sudden, we got a call from the wife. Repentance took place, prayer, and it's like the girl came back. The day the girl came back, I never saw that brother in church again. Never. Never came back. That's the motive was totally covered by thorns, flesh. There was a rich young ruler came to Jesus. What shall I do to be saved? If you read it, he came, ran, and fell on Jesus' feet. How many of you have done that on the altar before? When you see somebody run from there and fall on this altar, you know that person means business. That person is on fire to come and just lay flat and cry out to God and cry out. You say, oh my God, this person really loves God. Jesus said, no. Let me show you. Let me see what is in your heart, how much you love me. Now, go and sell what you have. Give it away to the poor and then come. Have you read that story before? The Bible says the rich man, this guy on fire, chose what he was on his heart than Jesus. He wanted Jesus, isn't it? But Jesus says, there are thorns, there are cares, there are things you have put, there are things in your heart that are way above God. God is not first. So if you really want to serve God first, okay, if you really think I'm first, go do this and come back. Amen? The Bible says the guy went away. He didn't stay, he walked away sad. Sorrowful. Another one says, Jesus, I will follow you. I'm talking about thorns. I'm talking about cares. We don't know our heart. I will follow you. I will love you. I will follow you. Jesus says, okay, if you want to follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Follow me. He did not, because his heart was after inheritance. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? There are thorns. We came from a dark world. These things have not been. God wants to change us. So what happens? What does the enemy use? How does the enemy keep us sedated and traps this glorious inheritance we have and keep us confined? He's letting us enjoy, live life, and do all this, but we are confined. We are not enjoying. We are not free to really enjoy our calling and destiny. So, in processing these things, the bait of the enemy, Jesus gave one solution. We read it, but it doesn't stop. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. For these things the Gentiles seek. What is he saying? The things that Satan has used to distract the world, and the world is taken over by it. He says, that should not be the distraction of the church. He says, the church should make God first. And every other thing that you're doing, God is not saying you will not have it. He's saying, I will bless you. I will prosper you. Whether in your profession, your this, whatever you do, I will magnify myself in your life, in your field, in your anything you do. But I have to be first. And to make God first takes discipline. Takes discipleship. It takes commitment. It takes faithfulness. Amen? It takes faithfulness. So this story that I read to you, talking about memorial, what started coming to me as I was meditating on this time? My brothers and sisters, the story I read for you says that we might escape the snares and be counted worthy to stand before God. David said, teach me to number my days. Amen? Teach me to number my days that I might apply myself to wisdom. What is this saying? My brothers and sisters, every one of us here, God knows exactly the day we're to be born. He knows exactly the day we'll die. And to every one of us, time has been appointed. An assignment has been given. We are here for a purpose. It doesn't matter how big or small. whatever God has assigned or called you to do, amen, means everything to him. Everybody here is a VIP to God because he made you special to fulfill something. That's why he says the finger, the toe in the butt, no part can claim to be greater than the other because every part is significant. So, he says, David says, if we live too, if we live, we'll live 70 years. If we live too much, you'll be 80. Of course, in the days of Noah, I say men can live up to 120. The question is not how long you live. The question is, how much strength do you have before you finish your assignment? What do I mean by that? If you're sitting in church, waiting all your life, taking your time to find out what God has for you, the purpose God has, so you can be what God wants you to be in the church and outside the church. If you're waiting, you don't know the time God has given to you. And so, while you live, I used to think I was young. Amen? I'm beginning to realize that your body can speak to you. Amen? Amen? That's why David said, while you are young, take advantage of your youthfulness. Amen? My brothers and sisters, your body can tell you you're going somewhere. Amen? You can have all the wisdom you want, but God wants to use this body to do something while it's strong. My mom was young, once young. She did some things. She did things I will never forget. She might not have read scriptures to me, but she did things out of love that showed me God. Sacrificial love. She did things today. I believe that's why God has the calling. She paid some price, and I believe she fulfilled her assignment. Hannah's assignment was to give birth to Samuel. Her name is in the Bible today because she fulfilled that. Every one of us here, you don't know the day, you don't know the time. Jesus says, we don't know the day. You know, when you read it, we're always talking about rapture. No, none of us here know the day or the time. But we've been called, gifted with assignment to serve God the moment we come. What is the enemy doing? The enemy is using the same strategy to keep us distracted. The word distraction is the enemy's strategy. What is distraction? Distraction is for us to think these cares of life, these things that we have esteemed so high, is the ultimate purpose for which we're here. That's the same thing the world are thinking about. Our priority while we're here, the enemy has twisted it. God says, I'm the one, I will bless you, I will give you things, I will give you profession, I will give you job, I will give you money, I will give you children, I will give you everything. But in everything I give you, if I am not priority, and the things that pertain to my kingdom are not priority, then you have been trapped. Your purpose and your capacity to please God has been truncated. It's like that bird trap. You are alive. There's so many birds there. You are eating, but you are not out into the capacity of God's plan. Every one of us here today have a limited time in this world. David begged God, God, please help me. And God honored it. My brothers and sisters, when people pass away, it scares me. It makes me happy and it scares me. Because the Bible says every one of us will give an account of our life. Not the account that we know, but the account when we come before God, God begins to show you why you are here. And he begins to show you what distracted you that had nothing to do with him and showed you the things he wanted you to do. It's too late at that time. God can always replace people. He will get his job done. He will always get his purpose done. Go ask Moses. Go ask Elijah. There are certain things he wanted done. He just raised other people. And he said, what you've done is good enough. Come on home. So the reason Mount Zion speaks this way, for a long time, God has put so strong in my spirit, speak about my purpose, about destiny, about people's calling. Keep stressing it. Keep reminding them. Because the enemy just wants us to be religious, to just be church people, when God has called you to influence your environment. He's called you to be, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, whatever, God wants to use you to make a difference. Your life has to make a difference. That's why you have God. Amen? At some point, your life has to be given, not taken all the time. You have to be a blessing. Amen? You have to be a flowing river, not a dead sea. The Dead Sea, they say it doesn't flow, it doesn't move. So the purpose of Mount Zion and the calling and the stirring, and that's why Jesus was not about this big massive crowd, 5,000, 50,000. When they come, it's about, do a miracle, give us food again. Do a miracle, heal my body, do a miracle. Jesus said, no, let me just raise up serious-minded people that will eventually take what they have received and change our world. You are powerful people. You have God. You have so much power. But the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, is fighting our ability to move forward. Let me ask you a question and we finish. I was in LA, I was sharing something, and in the middle of what I was sharing, God started dealing with me. It's a long story. But the bottom line is, when I came here, in my mind, I said, I'm going to make a lot of money. Because God gave me some skills. Even before I finished as an engineer, I had ideas, things I wanted to do. But guess what? When I tried to do it, everything I did failed. And failed. Thank God, God showed me mercy. So now, when I came here, I said, God, whatever is your plan, whatever is your will, whatever you've created me for, that's what I want. I didn't just say it. I prayed. I fasted. I cried. So God would know I was serious about living for him. It was then God opened my eyes and showed me. My brothers and sisters, if everybody can be a millionaire, everybody here will be a millionaire. If everybody can be a business owner, every human being wants to do. But you know what the war is? There is a spiritual war. There is a war out there. There is resistance out there. There are things, human beings, there are things that will fight you. There are jealousies. There are all kinds of things. By the time you turn 70, the most you have 2 buildings and you have a few cars. And that's it. And you have children, you're done. You're going away. If you fight too much, I can tell you, I know a millionaire that fought, made it. And then one thing happened, 2008. He became poor. The economy went down. He lost $200 million. And he's old now. That's all he lived for, fought for. And now he went overnight like a vapor. But the Bible says when you put God first, you meditate, you do the things of God, it says your success is built on rock. No matter the shaking, no matter what happens, your house will stand. My brothers and sisters, God calls you champions. And if you're in a school of champion, there is a price to pay. You can't live just like every other boss. Amen? So I'm challenging you by the grace of the Lord. Don't leave this place and just put your Bible in the corner. Please, begin to meditate. Begin to seek God. Begin to see the presence and the glory of God as your priority. Amen? Begin to see your calling as an assignment for the sake of other people. Amen? Don't let this Bible limit you to just eating, drinking pizza, and just living life. That is a limitation. You are caged by this world. God wants you to be an influencer by His Spirit. And that's the challenge. God is calling you. Be a blessing to somebody. Help people. Let's begin to do things to impact our community, impact church members. Let's begin to do things outside of ourselves. Amen? Amen. And God says He can do all things through you. Amen. So, we're going to take communion. And you all know one of the prize of communion is sacrifice. Amen? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. How many of you know love carries a lot of sacrifice? During Christmas, people were giving away things, driving everywhere. Some of you, of whatever you do, they sacrifice. True sacrifice touch people. True sacrifice touch people. And it's a sign of love. As we take the communion today, we are taking a sacrifice that was done on our behalf. Ultimate sacrifice. Jesus paid the price. And now that we receive it, He wants us to extend that love to other people. It's love. Something happened to me. Who knows? Maybe. I don't know how much it affected Super Honey, my wife. But I learned something. There was a young lady I've not seen in a long time, a cousin of mine. I've not seen her for over 30 years. She wanted to see me so bad because she lives in California. We've not seen. She drove 6.5 hours one way and drove 6.5 hours back just so that we see. I didn't see that way. My heart has been impacted. Love without sacrifice doesn't change people's hearts. Anybody can do it. But let's begin to do things that people will feel it, that we care, we love them. Amen? So as we take the communion today, let's become a living sacrifice. Amen? Let's serve God without serve God without selfishness. So as you come, please come. This morning, God is calling us to a new level of loving people, caring for people. God is calling us to evaluate. I was born 1962. I'm 50 something years, 7 or something. I don't think I have another 50 years to live. Amen? I don't want to waste time eating pizza. I want God to maximize the few years I have left. I want God to do something with my life. Amen? Some of you that are younger than me and older than me, I pray about this. If God says your time is off, have you accomplished God's assignment? Will you be comfortable to say, I have finished my course. I've run the race. Now awaits for me, like Paul, a crown of righteousness. So my brothers and sisters, few of us together, if we become love, we can make a big difference together. This place will be filled up if we start showing people love, sacrificial love. Amen? So you and the Lord, answer the call. Answer that call.